Welcome to BrandonVaught.com, where today I'm talking with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. Matthew is a senior correspondent for Our Sunday Visitor, and is one of the few people I've met who has written not one, but multiple encyclopedias. Matthew is the author of The Pope Encyclopedia, The Encyclopedia of Catholic History, and The Encyclopedia of Saints. In addition to those, he's also written several books on individual saints, including biographies of St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Damian of Molokai, St. Kateri Tekakwitha, and Pope Benedict XVI. But today, we're going to be discussing his newest book, which just came out, simply titled Pope Francis. It's the first original English-language biography of our new Holy Father, and Matthew has completed it in record time. But before we begin, Matthew, it's great to be talking with you again. Thanks for joining me for this interview. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. It really is.
Now, as a biographer, you've studied Cardinal Bergoglio, or Father Jorge, as he's more colloquially known. You've studied him from his early days, all through his priesthood, his episcopal life, and then finally to his election as pope. But let's start at the beginning. What should we know about Bergoglio's early life?
Yeah, I think a couple of things are worth noting. When one of the greatest popes of the modern era, of course, was Pope John Paul II. And in order to understand him, you had to understand Poland, the culture in which he grew up, the great struggles of his life, of Nazism and communism. It's similar in a way with Pope Francis, that in order to appreciate him, you have to know and appreciate a little bit about Argentina in general, but Buenos Aires in particular, because that is where he was born, that's where he grew up, that's where he entered the Jesuits, that's where he was served as a priest, a bishop, an archbishop. In fact, he loves Buenos Aires. He loved tango there. He loved his beloved football or soccer team there, San Lorenzo. And that is where he has spent almost his entire life. And I say that seriously. He does not like to travel. He hated leaving Buenos Aires, especially for those mandatory trips to Rome as a cardinal. So the great struggles and travails of Argentina in the 20th century, in a way, were the context for his life. The regimes, the junta that provoked the dirty war in the 1970s, the time of Evita Perón. I mean, a lot of Americans, the only thing they know about Argentina would probably be Evita, the musical. So that's the world in which he grew up. And in that world, he had a family of great love. They were not rich or even middle class by any means, but they had love, they had each other, and they loved the faith. So he grew up in that very interesting time in Argentina of suffering and political upheaval, but surrounded by family. And that probably are the two most important things that you need to know about the very early life of Cardinal Bergoglio.
In the first few weeks now of his pontificate, he's charmed the world with his humility, his simplicity. He shuns many of much of the pomp and circumstance of the traditional papacy. Was he like this as a priest and as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires? What should we know about his time after ordination?
Yeah, well, in fact, he was like this as he was preparing for his first communion. That long ago, the nuns who were teaching him all remarked that of all of the classmates that he had, he was the one who seemed to care the most about people, who was always trying to help people, to be of service to them. So that's something that he's carried with him throughout his entire life. And you're right. His love for the poor, his commitment to humility and service have always been with him, really from before his ordination, but especially once he became a bishop, an auxiliary bishop in Buenos Aires in 1992. And it was said that if you couldn't find him in the chancery office, all you had to do was look in one of the slums, because that's where he'd be. Or in one of the schools hearing confessions of young people, or giving counsel, spiritual counsel to people. So he was always at service. And then, of course, when he became the Archbishop of Buenos Aires, that opened up a whole new chapter of humility and service.
Now, much has been made about Pope Francis's Jesuit identity. He's the first Jesuit ever to become pope. What do you think that means for his papacy?
Yeah, well, when we go back to his early decision to become a priest, there was that profound spiritual moment in 1953 that everyone's talking about that even found its way onto his coat of arms, the Miserando atque eligendo that we can talk about if you want. He loved the Jesuits, in part because the Jesuits in Argentina were so profound and so beloved. They helped establish the faith there. They opened up missions and shrines and universities and schools. But what he really wanted to do was, A, become a missionary, which of course did not happen, but he also loved and respected Ignatius Loyola. And he loved the fact that the Jesuits were so well-rounded, and he himself, in short order, began teaching philosophy and literature and a host of other subjects. What it means, though, to have a Jesuit is somebody who really comes from that background, a diversity of educations. As I said, he loves literature, for example. Dostoevsky is one of his favorite authors. So he has this wonderfully diverse background. He has the Jesuit commitment to service, and especially to the poor and to others. And then he has a powerful grasp of Ignatian spirituality. He, it is known, has gone through the spiritual exercises, the complete 30-day spiritual exercises, at least twice. So he's somebody who has great personal discernment and is able to discern the spiritual state of others. In a way, he's going to use those exercises to discern, the spiritual life of Catholics everywhere. And that's a very good thing. So the intellectual training, the Ignatian spirituality, his own spiritual commitment to those, I think are all things that are going to be of great benefit to him as Pope.
Now, again, we're only a few weeks into his papacy, but you've been following Bergoglio now for several years, even up to the 2005 conclave, which many believe that Bergoglio was the second choice, the runner-up to Cardinal Ratzinger to become Pope. So knowing what you know over these several years of studying him, what direction do you see Pope Francis taking the Church? What will be his primary emphases?
Yeah, well, I've said really since his election that we know where we're going with him. All we needed to do is just hear the name he chose on the night of his election. You know, he had Cardinal Turan come out and give his name. It was a name that most people had never heard of. But then he came to, and the name he has given himself or chosen is Franciscum, or Francis. And of course, we know right off the bat that he chose the name in honor of Francis of Assisi. That tells us where we're going. Two things about Francis of Assisi that people really need to focus on. The first, of course, is his love of the poor, which is really a reflection of his love for Christ and seeing Christ in others. And we've seen that already with Pope Francis. The image so far of his pontificate has been stopping the Pope Mobile right in the middle of St. Peter's Square on the day of his inauguration, climbing out, blessing, embracing, and kissing the handicapped man. It was an entirely spontaneous gesture, but it crystallizes, I think, so much of what he's done as Pope, because that's what he did as Archbishop in Buenos Aires. But the other thing that we honor Francis of Assisi for is his role in bringing about a profound spiritual reform in the Church. And I think that's something that Pope Francis is going to be pushing very aggressively. In fact, we're seeing the first parts of it with his recent comment on making certain that the progress and the way that the Church is dealing with the sexual abuse crisis continues. All of those things, all the reforms that began under Benedict XVI, he's going to continue forward, especially in that area. But he's going to tie institutional reform with spiritual reform. And that too we're seeing. It's cloaked in humility, it's cloaked in service, it's cloaked always in doing what Christ asked us to do, which is to love one another. And so those two things, I think, the love for the poor, including, and this is an important part that he said, the poor in spirit, but those who are also impoverished in spirit in the first world, which brings us to the new evangelization. And then, of course, his reform, wider reform, spiritually. It's going to be an exciting couple of years, I think.
I'd like to close with a question that I almost don't want to ask you. But you've written several books on saints. I mentioned you've written the Encyclopedia of Saints. Out of all of them, who would you say is your favorite and why?
Well, that, I have to say, is just about the hardest question you could ever ask. since you're expecting an answer, I will give you one. And that is that I have the joy, but also the terrible responsibility of having been born on January 28th, which is, of course, the Feast of St. Thomas Aquinas. And it is an immense responsibility. In a way, I know I'll never be as holy. I'll never be as smart. I hope that I love the church as much as he does. So I would have to say St. Thomas Aquinas, for all of those reasons of his holiness, but also just what he was able to do for the church in his time. And in that, he's a model for all of us to use whatever gifts God gives us to the best of our ability, but at the service of God, at the service of Christ and his church. So Thomas Aquinas, without question.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Matthew, for joining me. I encourage viewers to pick up Matthew's newest book titled Pope Francis. It was just released by Our Sunday Visitor, and you can find it at osb.com or on Amazon or from your local Catholic bookstore. Matthew, where can people go to follow you and your work online?
Well, good place is osb.com because I write a lot for the OSB News Weekly. You can also find me at salvationhistory.com. And it is my hope that at long last, by the end of the summer, I will have a website up and running.
Excellent. And for more interviews, articles, book reviews, and more, check out my site, which is brandonvaught.com. Thanks for tuning in.